In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Talk about transparency. Jesus couldn't be any clearer than these words. He put it out there for what it means to follow him. This is so counter-cultural. How can anyone recruit followers today by saying, you got to deny yourself, you got to carry the cross, you got to lose your life, etc.? Don't you think it is a bit too much? Why would anyone want to deny oneself when we are taught to affirm and assert ourselves? Why would anyone want to carry the cross or suffer when in our society we are told suffering is for losers? Why would anyone want to lose one's life when we are told we are to love our life? What does it mean for us, the moderns? We associate denying, suffering, losing, and becoming vulnerable and the likes with failures and not with successes and good life. Even those of us Christians, these words of Jesus are a kind of hard to take. How about those of us, the clergy in the church? Do we fully understand the meaning of denying, suffering, and losing our lives for the sake of the gospel? Just as these words of Jesus are a challenge to you, they are a challenge to me as well. I have often talked about my own struggle in choosing to follow my call to priesthood, precisely because of these challenging words of Jesus. Well, it turned out to be that we are not the only ones who had problems with Jesus' words of passion. His own disciples also thought it was rather outrageous and ridiculous. The context is important to understand what is going on here. In the passage just prior to today's gospel, Peter made the most remarkable confession that Jesus was the Messiah the Jewish people were expecting. As we know, Jews expected Messiah to be the new King David, who would overcome the enemies of the nation, enlarge borders of Israel, and establish justice for God's people. And the disciples expected Jesus would turn the table around, and in this new kingdom which Jesus would establish, the disciples would be a formidable force to be reckoned with. So it was outrageous and scandalous for them to hear Jesus saying that he would be rejected rather than glorified, that he would be humiliated rather than elevated, and he would be executed rather than be exonerated. This is too much for disciples, especially for Peter, who often served as our stand-in. He took Jesus aside, kind of like a handler for during campaign time for politicians. He took Jesus aside and told him to stop talking like this, especially in public. Mark doesn't tell exactly what Peter says to Jesus, but one with a little imagination could hear Peter saying to Jesus something like this: Jesus, that talk about suffering and dying is not what we need to hear. This is crazy talk. Pull yourself together. Remember that you are the Messiah. Got it? Now start acting like Messiah. Tell us about the good things you are going to do, and let us not talk anymore about the nonsense of self-denial and self-sacrifice, suffering and dying and all that. Here Jesus and the disciples are about to make their final journey into Jerusalem. Something momentous is about to take place at the end of this journey. And Jesus is preparing his disciples for the inevitable. The salvation of human race hinges on what would take place at the final destination of this journey. This is to be accomplished by Jesus offering himself to become vulnerable to the point of death on the cross, not as a ransom to be paid to please a wrathful God, but as a sign of God's love for humanity by subjecting himself to human inevitability of death. According to the view of God, one view of God, God is an angry God, seeking justice and wanting to destroy the humanity for its disobedience. And the only way to prevent this wrathful God from acting out in a retributive way is to pay the price fully and satisfactorily. And so that view believed that Jesus was sacrificed on the cross to please God. If that was what took place on the cross 2,000 years ago, it was merely a transactional deal, a business kind of deal, quid pro quo, tit for tat type of deal. According to this view, Jesus came to change God's mind from being angry at his creation and humanity. Today, this transactional view of atonement is the governing principle of much of our secular life, our political discourse, our legal system, and the business world are all modeled after this transactional view of justice and atonement. As opposed to this widespread and transactional understanding of atonement of and the retributive system of justice, there is another view that is less known but more transformational. And this was what Jesus was preparing his disciples and followers for. When Jesus said, if anyone to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. There is nothing retributive about it. Here Jesus promotes a new way. He models a new style of leadership in establishing the kingdom of God. It is one of non-violence, very different from what the world knew up until then, very different from the ius operandi of eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. In the kingdom of God, one wouldn't fight evil by evil. Instead, one would overcome evil purely and exclusively by the force and strength of the truth. This transformational model sees God as a loving God and a merciful God, as our Lenten collect says, O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy. Jesus came into the world not to change God's mind on human beings, but to change our minds about God, God as a loving God, full of love and mercy. The God of transformational model seeks restorative justice. For disciples who looked forward to a time when their master would establish the kingdom as the Messiah, and when they can be in charge and attend to meeting out retributive justice, Jesus' talk of the cross was scandalous, and the secular Greeks, it was foolish. How about for us today? Do we want to shape control and design the kingdom of God in our terms and not in Jesus' terms. Jesus' path involves bearing the cross of nonviolence in facing evil today. Jesus models our way of redemption through the path of the cross. At his disposal is the might of the heavenly forces, but Jesus opts not to use it. Violence only begets violence. Today we live in a culture of violence. We breathe in and breathe out violence. But our gospel for today provides us a new paradigm, a new modus operandi. Taking up the cross and following Jesus means that we no longer use violence as a means of redemption, and that we follow the path of nonviolence regardless of the atrocities directed at us. Let us also reject the theology that death on the cross, Jesus' death on the cross, was the price or ransom paid to redeem us from sin. Jesus died on the cross because of our sins and not for our sins. What is cross for us today? Cross is to remain faithful and convicted to the principle of nonviolence, even in the face of misrepresentation, humiliation, and extreme violence, as Jesus modeled after in his suffering and death on the cross. Our cross is seeking restorative justice, lifting up the need of the poor, marginalized, the least, the lost, and the last, despite the heavy price we may have to pay in the process. Cross for us is not an ornament or a status symbol to wear, but a symbol of suffering to bear as we walk our life of faith. As someone who struggled a lot to answer my own call to priesthood, now that I am a priest, how do I feel? Have I lost my life? I did. If I try to understand the words of Jesus like this, for those who want to save their life as they know it will lose it, and those who lose their life as they have known it for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. May God grant us grace to continue this journey of love, mercy, and nonviolence that we have been called out to.